Now back to Your Money, Your Wealth on Talk Radio 760 KFMV.
Joe Anderson here, certified financial planner. David Cook filling in for Big Al today. Show's called Your Money and It's Your Wealth, right here on Talk Radio 760 KFMB. Hey, it's that time again where we got to get someone in here that's a little bit smarter than myself, Mr. Cook, and, well, Big Al. You know, Big Al's out, so we got to get a bigger brain in here. So we got Rodney Sullivan on the line, and he's a chartered financial analyst, and that's probably one of the top designations that you can get in our industry. And, Rodney, hey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, can you give our listeners just a little bit of what you do, where you're from, and things like that?
Sure. Well, I'm editor of the Financial Analyst Journal here at CFA Institute. And CFA Institute is the Global Association of Investment Professionals. And we established the CFA Charter Credential and also established ethics and education for investment professionals.
Perfect. How long have you been in the business?
Well, I've been with CFA Institute for 9 years now, and I've been in the business for over 20 years.
Perfect. The biggest problem, and so you've been in the business quite some time, and very educated person when it comes to the markets. I got an agenda that I want to get into because we're almost to the election. November's right around the corner, and a lot of times people don't necessarily want to invest when big events like this happen. In your experience, what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes that individual investors make?
There's a couple of mistakes that individual investors make. One of the biggest ones is that they try to time markets. So that is, they try to get out when they think markets are headed down, and they try to get in when markets are headed up, at least in their view. And it turns out that the data show very clearly that individual investors are simply not very good at this. In fact, no investors are very good at this. And it turns out that oftentimes the case, investors are doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing, which is to say that they tend to sell at bottom and buy at the top.
Well said. I think you hit it right on the head here when it looks at when it comes to someone's financial goals, if it's either retirement, putting their kids through school, if they want to pass wealth to the next generation, I always ask the question, it's looking at, all right, well, what do you think is your biggest obstacle attaining whatever goal that you're trying to accomplish? And then, you know, you might hear, well, taxes, you might hear, well, higher inflation, you might hear, something else. And at the end of the day, it's like, no, none of that, it's all irrelevant. It's all about you. It's your ability to stay disciplined with the investment choices that you make and making sure that you're doing everything appropriately. And like you said, people get out of the market at the wrong time, in the market at the wrong time, most of the time. And unfortunately, people have a pretty miserable experience when it comes to investing.
No,
go ahead.
That's exactly right. And so it's very important for investors to establish a plan. And to save regularly is another thing that folks just don't do enough of. So we need to make sure that we're saving regularly, that we're not trying to time the market, and also we work really hard to keep our expenses and our costs down.
With this premise of looking at when to get in and out of the markets, now one of the biggest things that's coming up is the presidential election. And so a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines. They're saying, all right, well, if Obama gets in, if Romney gets in, you know, then I'm going to make different moves depending on what presidential candidate is going to get into office. What's your take on this? I know you've done some extensive research on this topic.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways we could go with this. But from a broad perspective and thinking about, well, if a Democrat wins versus a Republican wins, there's some surprising historical evidence on this. And we think it's interesting to look at historical evidence, not to draw too much inference from it, but nonetheless, it's still interesting to review the historical evidence. And in this case, looking at, say, Democratic president versus Republican president, there's some rather surprising statistics. Let me explain. So I looked at this from 1926 to 2011. And it turns out that Democratic presidents are associated with higher stock market returns than their Republican counterparts. So this comes as a bit of a surprise to people.
Yeah, most definitely. I think I looked at a statistic over the last maybe 20 years of which president has, or I think it might have been in the last four or six presidents, who has the best track record, or that president in office who had the highest rate of return in the overall markets. And if you were to guess, people would probably say something else, and it was actually Obama.
Right, and so this is sort of back to my point about not trying to time markets, because a lot of things that people hold to be true simply are not. So one of the things that people, if you oftentimes ask them, well, who do you think, when do you think markets perform better, under Republican presidents or Democrats? And history, shows that it's under Democratic presidents, which runs counter to a lot of observers. Exactly. That's exactly the point here. The other thing that people do that I've seen in research, and I've seen reports on this in the media and elsewhere, is they look at these so-called presidential cycles. You may have heard of this. It's the notion that under the third and fourth years of a president, which is where we are now, markets tend to do better. And again, so I looked at this, and it is indeed true that under years three and four of a presidential cycle, that markets, stock markets do tend to perform better. Let me give an example. So under the third year, stock markets have returned 13% per year on average versus about 8% over the course of all 4 years, over that 85-year time period. So there's a bit of a difference there. So in year three, stocks tend to go up about 13% or more. Contrast that with year one, where stocks go up less than 5%, at least on average.
So if I understand the statistics, so if the first year of is that the first term of the first year of a presidential's 4 year run, is that the the average rate of return is 5%, but on the third year it's close to 13%?
Yeah, that's what the data show. But I wouldn't try to draw too much inference from this. Again, there is some fact to this, so it's not that these data are being misrepresented. My view is simply that they're perhaps being misused or abused by folks trying to trade these particular things. And let me give some great counterexamples back to your earlier point about, well, think about which president stocks performed the best and the worst under. Consider that, and as counter evidence to this 1 year being the worst year for a presidential cycle, that is year one being the worst year, under Franklin Roosevelt's very first year in 1933, stocks went up over 50%. And under Herbert Hoover in his third year, which is supposed to be the best year, stocks went down almost 50%. So again, really what drives performance in markets is not the presidential cycle. It's really the overall macroeconomy and macroeconomic events that really are the driving force behind markets and market returns. And those are very, very difficult to predict. It's fun to think about these presidential cycles. It's interesting to think about, well, how do stocks perform and try to use that information to gain an advantage. But as we just discussed, it doesn't work out that way at all.
What advice do you give our listeners for people that are sitting in cash right now that are going to wait until after the elections?
Yeah, I don't think there's any advantage at all for waiting until after the elections. I mean, clearly, what's on people's mind is the many pressing issues that are facing the economy today. Including, as we just found out, there's QE3 underway as we speak. There's the fiscal cliff coming, perhaps, at the early next year. So all of these factors, of course, there's the uncertainty in Europe. So all of these factors are important and on people's minds. And I would say, first of all, that certainly these factors are going to influence markets far more so than any presidential cycle. But at the same time, we tend to be very averse to risk, and depending upon your own personal savings and objectives and where you are in your financial plan, I would not suggest it be prudent to wait until after the election, because as we just discussed, the presidential cycle itself is not as critical as what some may suggest.
You know, you Rodney, you bring a great point, because if you look at this, all right, we have fiscal deficits, we have the fiscal cliff, like with increases of the Bush tax cuts, or when the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of the year, and then you have the Eurozone. I mean, there's so many issues that are going on in the world, but if you take a look at the markets, they're up. Right, so you have all this negative news, all this white noise that is going on in the overall global economy, but still, year to date, the markets have performed relatively well. So, I mean, all this white noise and all the news that goes out there doesn't necessarily affect the market on a day-to-day basis.
That's exactly right. I agree with that completely. So what I would suggest to folks is not to wait, but to diversify their assets over a wide variety of asset classes, not just put their money in stocks, not just put their money in cash or fixed income instruments, but to diversify across both stocks and bonds and also globally. It's really important. We are global. The world is global, so to speak, and so it's really important for people to benefit from that diversification. I mean, one of the things that we know about investing is that diversification benefits investors. And it's really important to talk to your advisor to make sure that you are fully diversified. And so if something does happen to go wrong in one part of the world or one part of the market, you have that diversification which provides padding to your overall portfolio.
Talking to Rodney Sullivan. Hey, Rodney, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you.